You don't get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, ooh, ooh. But I do.
Pitbull bringing us back here on a Therapy Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci going to the hotline now to be joined by the third member of our band, Gerard Cherry. Gerard, another disappointing Sunday for the Cleveland Browns. Another good Sunday for the Cleveland Browns defense, but this offense can't get out of first gear as they lose 14-6 to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and every time I think about the game, Nathan, I have my high school coach coming to mind, Chico Mendoza. Who be
Chico.
New? We're beating ourselves. Who beating who? We're beating ourselves. So once again, another week of Chico Mendoza's halftime speech coming into play. Something's got to change quickly, and I hope it's not with Brandon Wheaton not being out there and the backup coming in. But you know what, guys? I'm not going to place this all on the feet of Brandon Wheaton. I hear a lot of people saying, it's Brandon's fault. It's Brandon's fault. I'm seeing Brandon Wheaton making the correct throws. I'm seeing Brandon Wheaton make some plays. His skill guys are going to have to help him out. And if they don't, it's going to be a continuation of what we've seen, an ineffective offense. And the biggest thing that I fear right now is that the defense starts saying, you know what, we're not getting any help from this offense, and it's all on us, and the team comes into a split because of that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you, how quickly can that happen? And there were some body language, there were things I saw yesterday that disturbed me on that line, because the defense was playing very well. The defense was making the plays and doing the things that it needed to do, I think, to give this team every chance to win the game. We know that. But when they turn around and saw a drop pass, when they turned around and saw a misfired throw, it was over for them in their mind, because they had done everything they could, and then they just kind of shrugged and sighed, and they weren't happy. That wasn't a happy group on the sidelines.
No, it wasn't. And really, for this defense, they may have to take on a persona. You hate to say this, but it's the truth. Of the 2000 Ravens, where they said, you know what, our offense cannot get it done, it's on us. You hate to put the onus on one part of the football team, but that may be the case, where the defense just has to be the one to start scoring points until the offense does get its act together. But yeah, I gotta imagine in the back of their minds, they're saying that these guys on the offense are not gonna get it done. They've shown the inability to get it done, and what have we seen to make him think otherwise?
And it's a big problem. I mean, I would think right now, when you look at the numbers, you look at the drop passes, you look at the opportunities, 23 targets, a lack of production, that Greg Little is playing as poorly as any receiver in the National Football League right now. And I think, you know, with Josh Gordon out, he had an opportunity to step up and an opportunity to show that he could be the guy. And it's really struggling, and I think it was an utter failure, really. And now he's got the off-the-field issues with all these traffic. What do you do with Greg Little right now?
That's a great question, Nathan. And one part of me says, is he just trying too hard and he cares too much? And you say, what do you mean by caring too much? Well, what I mean by that is, you want it so bad, you want to achieve at such a high level, that when you go out there, all you're saying to yourself is, I got to do it. And then you don't do it because you don't let it flow. That may be the case. I'm going to think it's that case, as opposed to he just simply doesn't care and he's uninterested, because a guy doesn't catch jugs after practice and do the things that he's done and not care. I would suggest this. Why don't you go back to Alonzo Mourning and have another conversation? Because whatever he said to you back then has seemed to worn off on you right now, and you're not stepping up. But I really think, guys, just to give him the benefit of the doubt, Greg, let it come to you. You don't have to force the issue. Yes, we understand that Josh Gordon is out and you have to make plays, but you cannot force it. You got to just let it happen. God gave you ability. Trust it. And I see a guy who doesn't believe it, or in a sense of, I want it. And when you're that tense, it doesn't happen, man. It's like anything. When you're tense and you're real tight, it comes off as that way, and you don't make plays. And if anything, you look suspect. And right now, I agree with you, Nathan. Yeah. He looks suspect.
Gerard Cherry joining us, as he regularly does, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Gerard, man, there's a part of me that worries that we are putting so much emphasis on what Josh Gordon's return to this team is going to mean.
That we're
going to play it up and hype it up so much, and then when the reality hits us, it's like, okay, there are other problems. You know, the other problems on this offense that we know where they are: O-line, quarterbacking. I mean, things, just other receivers not doing their thing. That ultimately there is either only so much he can do, or what he will do just won't make the kind of difference that I think a lot of us think there's a magic pill in Gordon's return.
Yeah, and I worry about that aspect of it too, Vic, and saying, okay, well, just one guy makes that bigger difference, and it may in the sense that you have a vertical offense, and now you have a capable and believable vertical threat. So from that standpoint, I could see how I could open things up for a bunch of people underneath, in particular Jordan Cameron, and relieving Greg Little of pressure. I see that element of it. But at the same time, though, Vic, here's the part that concerns me. Is Josh Gordon, as a man, as a person, ready to deal with that? And can he handle the fact that if he does come back, he is the savior, in essence, of this football team if things start clicking once he's on a football field? How has he adjusted that? How has he adapted that? Can he take on that persona and that role and not let it go to his head and deal with it on a professional level? That's what I really worry about.
It is certainly, it's very interesting to see. And, you know, I've been trying to say give Brandon Weeden a pass until we get Josh Gordon back. But now you don't know if Weeden will be able to be the quarterback this week with the thumb issue that he's got against the Minnesota Vikings. One guy I wanted to ask you about, because I think it was one of the positives to come out of this game, was the debut of Barkevious Mingo. I think Barkevious Mingo looked unbelievable. He looked fast, a sack on his first play. What was your takeaway on Barkevious?
You hear, because I was driving at the car at the time because I just got off the radio broadcast, and I'm saying to myself, okay, Mingo's in the game, and first place sack, if that's not a good sign as opposed to a bad omen, what else could there be for you? So, yes, I'm encouraged by his play. He almost blocked the punt as well. So you got to be very enthusiastic about the fact that a guy that they said they could not miss on looks like he's going to be a hit thus far. Granted, I'm of the opinion that it can't just be one guy. You're going to have multiple guys when you draft and bring in free agents to contribute, but that's a start in the right direction. So if we want to look for something positive, at least we can say our first-round draft pick looks like he's a gamer and a guy that's going to make a difference for this organization.
And his play, combined with the work that we've seen by the free agents who have been brought aboard, mm-hmm. I think lends credibility where I know it's easy right now to be very upset with this organization, to hate everything that you're seeing from the offensive standpoint, that it colors your view of everything that the team is doing. But honestly, it's fair. This is not homerism. It is fair to break this thing in a couple of parts here. I think there is amply deserved credit on the part of those who have gone into the draft and into free agency and brought aboard what looks like very legit talent. Those same people, okay, didn't do it on the offensive side in this offseason. That upsets a lot of folks. But isn't it fair to say if they could do that well on the defensive side, they might have some answers for the offensive side going forward?
Oh, that's very fair to say that, because the proof's in the pudding. Look at Kruger. Look at Groves. Look at Bryant. Look at Mingo. Now, granted, you can make a question about McFarland and then the rest of the picks from his team and say they're not contributing, but they're later-round picks, so it's not really expected of them to contribute to the same level of Mingo or a high-priced free agent. And so, yeah, I share that same aspect as well with you, Vic, that, hey, if they can do it on the defensive side, give them a chance on offense. And the one reason why I won't get on Banner or Lombardi regarding not doing anything on the offensive side is that you have – a Trent Richardson, you have a Greg Little, you have a Josh Gordon, you have a Brandon Weeden, you have a Jordan Cameron. They're all 2 and 3 year players. You have to see what they can do and if they can adjust to your coaching. Is it coaching or is it just them as a player? And right now, it's looking more so like it's the player than the coaching, or is it both? I'm not sure, but we'll find out as the course of this year goes on. But if a coach is putting you in a position to make a play, Greg Little doesn't have an excuse right now. You got to make a play, and that's what you need to see, because I don't call it a rebuild. I call it the exploratory period or phase of the Browns right now on the offensive side, and right now we're going to find out who's a one, is the person is a one receiver or a three or a four, or if he's even fit to be on this team, and that goes for not just him, but that goes for the guards, the tackles, the running backs as well.
And talk about the running back, Trent Richardson. In his last 8 games as a member of the Cleveland Browns, he's been averaged 4 yards or more per carry in one of those 8 games. The only game he didn't average under 4 yards per carry, he only saw 9 carries against the Denver Broncos in week 16 of last year. What are you seeing from Trent Richardson? And I know it's a combination of things that, you know, he's not getting the running lanes. He never gets to run clean. He's carrying people. I think he fights harder for 3.5 yards than anybody I've seen right. running the ball in the NFL. But at some point, he's got to make some play people miss. He's got to get some runs over 10 yards. 18 carries yesterday, not a single run over 10 yards.
Yeah, and you appreciate his fight and his determination. Unfortunately, we're not looking for that type of back out of him. We're looking for
a game changer.
We're looking for a guy that's going to take it 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 yards, a home run hitter. And as things go on, it's appearing that he's not a home run hitter, but he's more of the Earl Campbell mode, going to bowl you over, and that really doesn't help this particular offense right now. And that's the sad part about it. So I want to believe in T. Rich because I do appreciate the fact that he plays a tough-nosed, hard-nosed brand of football, and I'll always respect that. But what this offense needs is a game changer. And it's kind of ironic, guys, or interesting, I would say, that Deion Lewis turned out to be more important than what we thought. Yeah. From a catching out of backfield standpoint and a dynamic aspect that he brings to this offense.
Explosive dynamic does not exist in this running game.
Yeah. And he'd be out there instead of Obanaya on third downs. If they don't want to play Trent Richardson on third downs, which I still don't totally understand. If they want to play Obanaya, that would have been Deion Lewis. That's massive. That's a playmaker. That's somebody that a defense is at least thinking about accounting for. I just don't see a scenario where, you know.
Well, here's the thing, Nathan. And,
I don't see it.
It's the first time I've heard you at a loss of words.
Right. I don't understand it.
That is one of those few times we will hear that. But here's the thing, Nathan, because if you watched it from a television version like I did and you saw one particular play that stands out to me, and it was where T. Rich and Brandon Weeden were having a conversation after the huddle was broken, and it was an empty backfield set. And what that means is there's no one in the backfield except for Brandon Weeden, running back. Essentially lines up as a wide receiver.
Right.
And T. Rich from the get-go did not know where to line up, and he had to ask Brandon Weeden. Now, was that a situation in which he did not know the call or did not hear it, or he heard the call but he did not know where to line up? And if that is the case, that he did not know where to line up, that's an indictment on him and why they cannot put him in a third down, because if he's not sure of the protection and blitz pickup, Brandon Weeden's going to get killed.
You know, you raised such a great point, because it keeps coming back to why. Why in those most critical situations, the money down, third down, that you don't see number 33 on the field, or you see him on a limited basis? And I think that speaks to it. But I don't think it's unfair to say Trent's got to step up. Trent right. has got – whatever Trent's doing and whatever he's done so far through 17 career games, and he's had some decent ones last year, but it took all of 17 career games to break 1,000 yards, which happened this past
and do the
yesterday.
Math. That's not a lot of yards per game.
That's not a large, no, lot not. Of yards per game for him. So something's got to give. All right, we appreciate the knowledge, as always, Gerard, and we will talk to you again, buddy.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Gerard.
Gerard Treary joining us here on A Therapy Monday, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_Daily. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850 WKNR. Been on the run, driving in the sun, looking out for number one.